For Brighton's lawyers and 4D duels.
This is Breakfast with Vossie, Summer Edition on 1170 SEN.
Oh, it is early. It is early. We got to lead off this morning with the all-important question. Who does the coffee run around here? Good morning, everyone. Breakfast time. It's the Jules and Joe show today. Jimmy's got the morning off. We are filling in for Vossie through 1170 SEN right here in the Emerald City. A little bit wet outside. Stay safe on the roads. SEN track on the Central Coast and in the Illawarra through 90.3 FM Griffith. And to those listening anywhere in the world on the SEN app, a very good morning to you. Welcome to those listeners tuning up in Queensland through 10.53 a.m. in Brisbane, 16.20 on the Goldie. You are with us for the next hour, and then Pat and the Heels will join you from 6 a.m. Queensland time. We are, of course, here for Brighton's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call Brighton's Lawyers on 1-800-848-848 or visit brightons.com.au. And 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. Now, you can call us throughout the morning anytime. We'd love to hear from you. The McDonald Jones Open Line, 1300 01 1170 1300 01 1170, and you can flick us a text as well. Have your say on any issue you please. 0457 736 736. This Novak Djokovic story has more holes in it than Swiss cheese, and now it does appear that Novak's days in Australia are looking likely numbered following his public statement yesterday, where he admitted the following: that he lied on his entry form by ticking no when asked if he'd travelled in the 14 days leading up to his arrival in Australia. He blamed his entourage for incorrectly filling it out. I think he said Tennis Australia, then he said his agent. He also admitted that he attended an interview and photo shoot with a French magazine on December 18, despite knowing he was positive with the virus. And that is a breach of Serbian health laws. Australian immigration officials are also looking into the PCR test result that Djokovic is using to claim an exemption from vaccination, with suggestions it may have been manipulated after inconsistencies emerged about the timing and the result of the test. I'm going to go through that in a bit more detail. It's got a really fishy stench about it, I have to say. Now, sources have told The Telegraph that the federal government is preparing their case to revoke Djokovic's visa because it has serious implications for the government's border protection policy. So just when we thought it may have been dying down, well, after that statement yesterday and further revelations, well, the opposite is happening. It is heating up. I want to get your opinion on the Djokovic saga today. Should he stay or should he go? We might run some clash a bit later. Joe Healy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jules. I was hoping that we didn't have to talk about Novak again. Is anyone else sick of it? Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, it seems like it is coming to, although we're still talking about it, seems like it's coming to a head from a legal perspective in terms of his admissions. They're all things that we knew. You can see on his social media the timeline of events that happened over the 16th, 17th, 18th of December. But now that it's out there, especially from a legal point of view, it definitely has sort of swung against Novak in terms of his deportation.
You know what's interesting, right? He admitted that he attended this interview with L'Equipe, this French magazine, a photo shoot. It wasn't masked up, and he knew he had it, right? He knew he had the virus. You know what his excuse was? I didn't want to let them down. Do you know any sports person that would be crook that deliberately breaches a stay-at-home order because they don't want to let down a journalist? Do you buy that for a moment?
Not for a second. That's actually quite amusing, really. Sports stars, if you're out there listening, will do anything to avoid an interview. Anything. Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to let them down. 1-300-01-1170. That is the open line number and the text line, 0457 736 736. But there are a lot of question marks, Joe, about when he actually had COVID. Now, Der Spiegel, they're a German magazine. They've been doing some really good investigative reporting on this front. And they've thrown up some serious anomalies around the date of infection, right? So apparently it was December 16. He tested earlier in the day and he got the results back 8 p.m. that night. He went out and he went out the next day. So even though the results came in on the 16th, apparently he didn't know the result until the following day. Now, I've had a number of PCR tests. Mm-hmm. It comes straight to your phone. You're meant to isolate until you get result. So it says to me either he's ignorant or he doesn't give a rat's. It's dangerous either way. But the thing is, and I mentioned this yesterday, the documents that Novak produced, it's got a little QR code, you scan that and it goes to the lab that produced his results. Der Spiegel, this magazine, as well as the tennis journalist from New York, Ben Rothenberg, has been doing some digging. They have scanned the QR code only for the result to show negative. They do it again an hour later, then it comes up positive. Now, all this is now, for the cynics amongst us, and I imagine that group of cynics are growing by the moment off the back of Novak's recent revelations, are starting to suggest that maybe this whole thing is fabricated. Because if he tested negative, how did he intend to get into the country? That was his only ticket in, was to say, okay, I tested positive, therefore you don't need to be vaccinated for 6 months afterwards.
If you're going to fabricate a scenario like that and say that you've had COVID when you hadn't, could he not have picked a different date at least? Like the whole thing, it's been handled so badly.
Well, the timestamp on the digital version of his results suggested, some suggestions are that the positive test was actually from December 26 rather than 10 days earlier. So further digging has indicated that the result, allegedly from December 16, was added to the Serbian database after a negative test from December 22. So figure that out.
It's so confusing.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions.
Does that mean that he would have then travelled with COVID to Spain, which again is also against the rules?
Well, I think the inference is that he didn't test positive to COVID at all, but because he felt that that was his only way of getting into the country to play the Australian Open, that he needed to somehow fabricate a positive test. We don't know, and at this stage we can only speculate. It's looking very dubious. So I suppose on face value, you've got to take him on his word, but it's harder and harder to be able to do that.
It is, definitely. What I find really interesting is that because there's an appeal that will probably happen from the Djokovic camp, he actually will probably end up playing in the Australian Open regardless of whether he's deported or not.
Well, this is the thing, right? So if they decide to deport him, what's going to happen is that the Djokovic camp will appeal. And then they may give him an injunction until the end of the tournament, in which case the case will be heard, and if he loses, fine. Well, he's already played the tournament, and then they'll send him home. So in a sense, it kind of defeats the purpose. But I'm just seeing a public mood starting to shift on this. And they go, oh, okay, so hang on, you didn't fill out your own travel declaration. That's punishable by prison. You breached Serbian health laws by knowingly going to a photo shoot after you said you had tested positive and realised you tested positive to COVID-19 after December 16. That is punishable by prison. Are those grounds enough for Alex Hawke to revoke the visa and use his incredible powers potentially on character grounds because he so flagrantly disregarded public health and safety laws?
I'm done with Novak. I so am. I do look forward to speaking to BP a little later this morning, who has been following the story really closely, and was the one who sort of suggested about the fact that Novak probably will end up playing anyway because there are loopholes in the system. They'll keep it going. They'll keep it alive. What I do find or did find quite amusing that there was the Czech tennis player who was sent home for also not being fully vaccinated. She's obviously seen what's happened here with Novak and seen that he probably will play in the tournament and he has been able to stay in Australia on a technicality. She's now kicking up a stink saying, why didn't I have the same support? I'm going to look into it. My legal team are going to fight this. Da-da-da-da. She wants compensation from Tennis Australia. Novak is in a position of power and privilege where he's been able to do this. This poor woman, she was sent to the same detention centre, I believe, and was sent out of the country. But, I mean, she's not really got a leg to stand on. I don't think she even has a singles ranking. I feel like Tennis Australia, seeking compensation from Tennis Australia, she is climbing an uphill battle.
No, won't happen. It won't happen. But what it does do, Joe, is it puts a spotlight on the inequalities in the system. When Novak, for all his wealth and legal heft, is able to fight this with somebody of smaller stature, like Renata Voroncova, who you just talked about, does not. And then the other thing, too, is that people are highlighting the plight of those that have been in permanent detention for the good part of 10 years. 0457 736 736, that is the text line number. We're going to catch up with your good mate Chase Buford on the program today.
Yes.
You must be tearing your hair out to get some NBL action returning to the courts, Joe.
I am definitely looking forward to it. There was one game last round, which was a Sunday afternoon. Put my feet up. It was great to watch. But yeah, Kings coach Chase Buford will be on the show a little later this morning. They're playing in the Freeway Series tonight against their rivals, the Illawarra Hawks. So it's going to be a really exciting game down there in Wollongong. I think it's been 18 days for the Kings, but maybe 28 for the Hawks since they've been on court. So you can expect maybe a little bit of rust, but certainly a lot of energy from both sides out there. They'll be ready to go.
0457 736 736. That is the text line number. Isn't it funny? Because I thought this issue would hot up today, but people are really over it. People are over it. Yes, 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 Joe. We've heard enough of Novak. Come on, Jules. You're sounding like a broken record. The court has made a ruling. Play on. Samo from Cootamundra. Samo, good morning to you. Brilliant. A lot of people want to talk about it. But if you want to bag us for going on about Novak too much, be our guest. So, you know what? We should make an edict early on the program. When we talk to BP, let's touch on it and then just focus on the tennis. You want to do that?
Please.
Done.
Please.
Done. Okay. Now, ding, ding. Thank you, Mulchy. Now, in the Big Bash last night, a comprehensive win by Adelaide Strikers, and they needed that too. They thumped the Heat by 71 runs. Now, Rashid Khan, the gun, he farewelled the Big Bash season in style, Joe. Did you see this? 6 for 17. 6 for 17, Rashid Khan, of just 4 overs. It was his milestone 300th T20 game, became just the third player to claim a BBL six-wicket haul. Now, in this afternoon's game, we've got the Thunder taking on the Hurricanes, and then tonight it is the Melbourne Derby between the Renegades and the Stars, that match at Marvel Stadium. Of course, you can hear all the action live right here on SEN, thanks to Big Bash Nation. Just on Rashid Khan. Now, I saw this stat by Daniel Beswick. He's a freak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best T20 bowler on the planet. Since coming into the BBL in 2017, Rashid Khan for the Strikers, he ranks first in wickets with 92, next best 78. First in dot balls with 577, next best 547. First in overs conceding fewer than 6 runs with 116, next best 96. And his figures last night of 6 for 17 are the best since his BBL debut. Do you remember when T20 started, they said it was going to be the death of spin bowling? That's it. If you're going to be a spinner, don't become a spinner because you're going to die out. You'll be a dying breed. You get smashed all over the park. And the opposite has happened. The best bowlers in that abbreviated form of the game are the spinners.
He's incredible to watch. I find it really fascinating. I cannot believe his age. He's 23.
Yeah.
He's not even 43.
Yeah,
no, yeah, but in terms of his cricket life and his peak, he's not even close.
Mm. It's frightening, isn't it? Mm. At 23, I was scratching my backside and bumping into things. And here he is, the premier T20 bowler on the planet. Yeah, when in the embryonic stage of T20 cricket in England, and they say, it's going to be the death of spinners. It was a bloke by the name of Jack Snape. Now, Jack Snape, he wouldn't even call him a spinner, Jay. He'd call him a slow bowler. Mm-hmm. Or as like Kerry Packer would call a bloody straight breaker. And what he found, he sort of widened the crease, mixed up his lengths. They couldn't get him away because there's no pace on the ball. We thought there might be something in this spin bowling caper in T20 cricket. And the opposite is true. And I suspect we're going to see more evolution in the game when it comes to spinners. Just on that too, a bit of more cricket news with regards to the future of Justin Langer. Suggestions that Trevor Bayliss might be in the box seat, Joe, to take over the national team once Justin Langer's tenure ends. He wants to continue JL, but we know that he hasn't exactly had the backing of his key charges. But there has been talk for a long time, and Darren Lehman floated this, that we need separate coaches for separate forms of the game. So if Trevor Bayliss does take over, it would be the test, probably the one-day team, we think.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Andrew McDonald to head up the T20 format of the game. Because what you find when the calendar starts to expand, you're going to have two Australian teams playing at the one time.
Yeah, we discussed this a little while back, and I think it's probably a good idea, even if there is still one head coach. Say Justin Langer does keep his job, but he has two other individual coaches that look after the different formats of the game. We go white ball and red ball, obviously. And then just have the overriding manager, I suppose, overseeing everything. It means that JL, I mean, really, how do you get rid of the guy when he's won the T20 World Cup and an Ashes series in such emphatic fashion like he has? However, you probably can put other people in place that have more of a hands-on role and let JL sort of just be the face of everything, but sort of step back slightly and not be quite as hands-on, I guess, as I said, I think that's probably where it will go.
The thing about coaching, I mean, all the great coaches, everyone has a shelf life. Right, so you can talk about Bellamy's probably the exception in rugby league, but Wayne Bennett, for example, I mean, nobody lasts at one club forever because eventually your methods become less and less effective. 1300 01 1170. That is the open line number, thanks to our great friends at McDonald Jones. And the text line number 0457 736 736. Still on cricket, reports coming through this morning that Usman Khawaja, Joe, is set to retain his place for the fifth and final test at Hobart. There's a debate about what would happen with Marcus Harris. Now, you know, my instinct was telling me that they were going to hang on to Harris. It appears my instinct, not for the first time, Joe Healy, is wrong.
No.
Ben Horn in the newspapers.
He's had his chances. He's had his time.
Yeah, well fought it. He's never scored a test century. Looks like Khawaja will remain in the side, open the batting alongside David Warner with Travis Head to return in that middle order. I don't think too many people could complain about that.
No, I certainly not. I like that they kept Harris there. They did give him a chance. They've left him out there. But I think had Uzi come in Sydney and not produce the form that he did, maybe there is still a case to leave Marcus Harris there. But you can't ignore what he did. Two centuries at the SCG was unbelievable. He's clearly playing, has his eye in. He looks really relaxed out there. The way that he speaks about it, he's enjoying his cricket. And then you get the relationship with him and Dave Warner that goes back some 28 years or something to when they were kids
played
running
under
around.
Nines together.
It's the cutest thing ever. But that connection is really important too. And we know that Warner struggled to find a consistent opener. Whether Uzi is that person moving forward, they're both reaching or coming towards the end of their careers. But I love that they've hopefully will go with Usman Khawaja. I think that most Aussie fans will really warm to that idea.
He's so popular. Just look at the rousing reception he got for those 200s. But the other thing there is Joe Root spoke to the press yesterday. He said, I can't believe Khawaja wasn't in the side for the first test. If you're an England fan, you're thinking, gee, this is a guy that can't crack the side. He comes in, goes bang, bang, scores 200s. And in the space of one match, has outscored Harris for the series, Smith for the series, Milan for the series. She's been England's best outside.
I think it's only Marnus that he's behind. Yeah.
It is frightening. It is frightening. 0457 736 736. Of course, you can hear full coverage of the fifth test right here on SEN from tomorrow afternoon. It's tomorrow, just coming up fast. I looked at the weather forecast too. Have you been to Hobart?
I haven't.
Are you kidding me? Do yourself a favour.
I know, it's on the
list. As Molly would say, I went there in 2016 for that ill-fated game where they got pumped by South Africa. McCallum Ferguson and Joe Many played their one and only test matches. Joe Many, there's a footnote in Australian cricketing history. But it bucketed down rain on the Sunday. So we just sort of hung out, you know, had a few shandies around the bars of Salamanca on the
Perfect.
Saturday night. Good fun we were there. And Greg Mo Matthews was there doing commentary. He walked into the pub, had a beer with some, walked out. 10 minutes later, walks back in again. Pats a few people about, walks out. I reckon five times Mo just went in and out of the pub, disappeared for 15 minutes, came back in. What he was doing is anyone's guess.
That's brilliant.
He's a strange cat, Greg Mo Matthews. We share a birthday too, by the way. December 15, just like our good friend across the corridor, Tim Webster. 0457 736 736. That is the text line number. We'll get to some of your texts after the break. We are up and running on this Thursday morning. Breakfast for Vossie. Julian King in for Jimmy Smith. Joe Healy alongside me. Thanks to our good friends at Brighton Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. Call Brighton's today, 1800 848 848. Yeah, Jules and Joe on the chair. Jimmy having a day off today. And don't forget, the fifth and final test at Hobart gets underway tomorrow. Thanks to Blundstone Boots. You hear all the action with the best in the business right here on SEN.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you
what
say that you are mine.
The Mick
that.
Jones and the Clash. I'll get the blood pumping on a Thursday morning.
Any other hits?
So heaps. Give some Atmos at Mulchy. Give some Atmos.
Should I stay or should I go?
Now, I think everybody knows the reason we're playing that song this morning, Joe Grace, is because that is a theme
Novak Djokovic. There's this Serbian tennis player that you might have heard of. No,
goes all right?
Yeah, he goes all right on the tennis court. He's a pain in everyone's asses off of it.
Thanks for recommending. Yes, yeah. He's
it's all right. I'm happy
to put that out there. Yes. No, he's very good with the tennis racket. Not so good with detail, as we've learnt this morning. Novak Djokovic didn't fill out his own travel declaration. Have you travelled to any other country before coming to Australia? No. In fact, he spent time in Spain. Wrong. Other thing there is, oh, I just want to clarify some things. Yes, although I tested positive to COVID at 8 p.m. on December 16th, I didn't actually get the result until afterwards. So I, in the meantime, went and hung out with some kids, hung out with Kevin Peterson. And then when I did know I was positive, I still went and did a photo shoot with the journo because I didn't want to let the journo down. Now, if you believe that, and if kids are in the car, cover their ears, then you believe in the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. You may disagree. 0457 736 736. That is the text line number.
Tell you who I would like to hear from.
Who?
Anyone out there who thinks or who has a good reason for Djokovic still being here and not being deported, because it feels like, as you mentioned before, public sentiment is against him. It's been confirmed now that he knowingly did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from anyone who actually thinks that he should be here and why.
Well, that's why we played the song, The Clash. Should I stay or should I go? Anyone thinks, if you want Novak to stay, let us know and why, as Joe said. If you want him to go, let us know and why. 0457 736 736. Just back to The Clash. Yeah, obviously, should I stay or should I go? Rock the Casbah.
Great course,
tune.
Yeah.
I fought the law and the law won. Anything else? You know, I once saw the spin-off was Big Audio Dynamite. Remember that band?
No.
Big Audio Dynamite from the 90s.
I'll know it if I hear it.
Yeah, no, you would. But Mick Jones were there and they played in the lead-up to you two and their Zoo TV gig. It was the worst gig I think I've ever seen. Mick Jones, it was like a Stussy sponsorship trip. Yeah, well, you don't remember Big Audio Dynamite. We'll get Mulchie to pull up some of that during the news.
Yep.
And you'll remember it. Big Audio Dynamite. But yeah, should I stay or should I go? That refers to Novak Djokovic. Alex writes, Djokovic v. Tomic on the course. Who do you cheer for? On the court, who do you cheer for? That is a philosophical poser right there. Thank you, Alex, for your correspondence. So, who do you go for?
Bernie.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
Just the Aussie connection. I really want Bernie to
succeed or go away.
No, succeed.
He's had his chance.
I know. Yeah. I was looking forward to seeing him the other day and then he produced the old, like, I don't know, tantrum on the court, didn't he? Threw his toys out the pram.
Well, he produced a Bernie, right? And, you know, there's still questions to be asked about the bleached hair. So maybe he got holed up in a hotel room and was watching old Dawson's Creek and thought, you know, Pacey had that frosted tips look. He said, that could work on me. 0457 736 736. Morning, Jules and Joe. Greg from Gundagai. Good morning to you, Greg here. Still can't believe Novak is still in the country. He has lied about it the whole way through. And the holes in his story get bigger by the minute. Then he goes and blames someone else for ticking a box before he hopped a plane. I used to be a Novak supporter, but I'm off him now for good. That's interesting. That's it. Because most people don't want him, didn't particularly like him. And he was never the most popular player. But now we're seeing it. And you're a fine example of that, Greg. Those that were sympathetic that now find themselves less so. Reptile, hello to you. Up nice and early this morning. Morning, A-team. What do you call a port-a-loo holding a tennis racket? Novak Djokovic has the ability to hit a tennis ball but full of crap. Reptile, you told me that yesterday, but thank you. Steve from Rudy Hill, good morning to you, Steve. I don't see the point of Justin Langer being sacked now. Mm-hmm. We won the T20 World Cup plus the Ashes. Langer and former captain Tim Payne should have been sacked after losing the Test Series to India at home last season. Well, they had a Payne's a different story, but he had a contract, Justin Langer. His contract expires, I think,
in the middle
of this year. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I do believe that Cricket Australia are going to make a decision before that.
With Langer? Well, I mean, Crash Craddock was reporting that he expects Langer to step down from the role. I think he sees the writing on the wall. I think Peter Lawler put it well in The Australian. He said it's with regards to Langer. He doesn't have knives in his back, but no one has his back. That was the way that he categorised it, and I thought it was pretty accurate. Mm. Not that they hate the bloke, they don't, you know, they like the bloke, but they don't endorse him going forward. They're not going out of their way. And Pat Cummins sort of, you know, let it go through to the keeper when he was quizzed about this a couple of test matches ago. I want Novak to stay, says Paramat, in a detention centre for the next 5 years. Well, I don't think anybody's suggesting we lock him up. I don't think, you know, he's not the worst of the worst criminal, Novak. Rooster Man, should stay, we should put him in jail. Look, I don't want him. I'll be happy to see him go. But I'm not sure we need to jail him, do we, Joe?
No, let the Serbian government do that.
0457 736 736, the text line number. News comes up next. 1300 01 1170 is the McDonald Jones Home open line number. Get your dream McDonald Jones Home started today. Do you live in a McDonald Jones Home?
I don't.
No, you should. They're the best in the business. Jules and Joe, I want Novak to stay. Why? Just to see him get publicly humiliated by crowds at Melbourne. It would be justice. Serve the Aussie way, Matt. That's something that probably hasn't been talked about enough with Novak, if he plays, right? So if they want to deport him, Novak's team will appeal. The judge may serve an injunction, in which case you can stick around for a couple of weeks, play the Oz Open, and then be sent packing. If he plays, can you imagine the reception? Will they do courtside interviews? So, oh, Novak, you know, there's Jim Courier. The boos will be horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And the other question there is, well, how will it affect him mentally with regards to his preparation and his performance on court? Because he strikes me, Novak's the sort of guy that would probably rev up with stuff like that.
Oh, I think he'll be motivated. I would, as a fellow player on tour, I would hate to come up against him in Melbourne if he is playing in the Australian Open. I mean, you'd hate to anyway. He's the best player in the world, but yeah. He's got additional motivation now. It would just be a nightmare.
1300 01 1170, McDonald Jones open line number and the text line number as well. 0457 736 736. G'day, Julian and Joe. Joe, bring on the real athletes tonight in NBL. Stop talking about the, and I won't use that word, of a human being. Novak, we are going to talk some NBL later on in the program. You always see Joe just perk up every time we talk B-ball. Jules and Joe filling in for Vossi. Let's do this.
Of sports news around this morning, thanks to Kennard Tire. They make your job easy. Call your local branch today. Travis Main and Brent Reed are reporting in the Telegraph that the Cowboys have issued a letter to obviously their star player, Jason Tamalolo, warning that his $10 million contract could be in jeopardy due to his COVID vaccination status. So he's unvaccinated. He's been free to train with the rest of the squad so far throughout preseason. But it's a little bit of a case, as you've seen in a couple of other sports around the world. Kyrie Irving is the first one that comes to mind, but he actually will not be allowed into Queensland stadiums as an unvaccinated player. So it puts the club at loggerheads, really. It's like we are forking out so much money for this guy, but he'll only be playing half of their games. He's playing away games only for the most part. That's assuming the rest of the stadiums in the country allow him in.
Yeah, there's a lot to play out in this front. We've seen how much COVID has wreaked havoc with all the summer codes. It's interesting. Luke Thompson, Dylan Walker, just two examples in the rugby league world that spring to mind that were holding off, that didn't want to get vaccinated. Eventually, both of those men did. And we saw in the AFL, Liam Jones, the Carlton player, had a $500,000 a year contract. And the AFL said, if you're not vaxxed, you can't play. We basically won't register you. You know what he did? He quit. He retired from the game. And you might say, okay, well, you've got to respect a man for his principles. Fair enough, too. But that is a big decision to make, to give up $500,000 a year and your career, your livelihood.
It's a massive decision.
Because of your stance on vaccination.
I'd love to get into the mindset and find out why and the real sort of reasons as to why you would turn away from that. It may be that he was looking for an out. You never know. That could have just been a really easy way to step aside. Maybe he had been looking for a while.
So he's the anti-Novak who's looking for an in. And the other one there, and the other big fish when it comes to anti-vaxxers in the NRL is Nelson Asofa-Solomona. And that's gone a bit quiet. We know that he wouldn't return the captain's calls, Jesse Bromwich. So they're in a world of pain at the moment.
I think the NRL have done wrong by the clubs here in not mandating the vaccine.
Well, that's what the AFL did.
Yeah.
They said, well, people's choices are people's choices. That's fine. That's fine. But choices don't come without consequences, right? You say, what about the individual? Okay, but what about the organisation? You know, they have a responsibility to protect their employees and protect their workers. And mandates are effectively, it's just a policy on that front. 1300 01 1170, the McDonald Jones home open line. And 0457 736 736.
Yeah, a little bit of football around this morning as well. Sydney FC had a win in the FFA Cup. They beat the Brisbane Roar 1-0 in last night's quarter final, despite finishing the game a man down. That was Sydney FC's first game since Boxing Day. So a lot of these sports that you're seeing at the moment are going to be coming back a little bit rusty, having to ease their players back in, just obviously cautious of injuries and running these guys into the ground. I look forward to this one as well. West Ham and Norwich kicking off in the Premier League in about 5 minutes' time. So we'll keep an eye on that one. We might have to get the guys in the studio to put it up in here for us.
Well, Mulchie's our football
already
expert.
Already on it. Love it, boys.
How did you do that? Because I spent a good part of 20 minutes trying to change the channels of a multitude of screens. I feel like I'm in NASA control room here. And I literally had horse racing and NFL. That's all I could find. I need to ask you, Joe, the MASH theme. What's the thinking behind that?
There isn't really. It was one of my favourite shows. Love.
Do you know what the name of that song is?
Yeah, Suicide is Painless.
Suicide is Painless.
Yeah. I know, it's a bit morbid, isn't it?
And I could take or leave it if I choose. What number camp was MASH?
Oh,
the
I can't remember.
0457 736 736. It's a MASH quiz. Breakfast of Vossie, Jules and Joe filling in. Jimmy got the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll take a break.